Okay, let's do that as well. Okay, are you guys ready?
Always.
Good. Then let's get started. Hello, welcome to the Mac Show, the show where we talk about everything going on in the Apple news area, which is basically nothing right now. It's very, very quiet. It's kind of the calm before the storm coming in, hopefully September. We'll see about that. With me, I have a really awesome panel today. Kind of the all-star band back together. Starting us off, I have top left, Chuck. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Patrice. I think I'm sitting in on drums.
You're sitting on drums.
Yeah, just sitting in on the drums if this is
Oh.
getting the band back together. Even though I don't play, at least I can, hopefully keep a rhythm of some kind. Wait,
Well.
wait, wait. That's no, pause the pause guitarist and Victor plays the sax. Brini plays the keys. Who is the drummer? Hamilton,
Yeah,
right?
Dave. Hamilton.
Dave,
Yeah.
uh-huh.
Hamilton, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Hold on. It's like thinking of an old rock star band trying to remember who cast her. John
Yeah.
Hamilton.
The other lovely voice you're hearing is Doc, all the way from Hawaii, and this time not really early in the morning, or at least not as early as usual.
Yeah, I mean it's still 8:30, well almost 8:30, but at least I'm kind of sort of a little bit awake, except for last night. I think I slept like 2 hours. So here's a public service announcement for you allergy-oriented people. Never take 120 milligram Sudafed about 20 minutes before you go to bed. You'll sleep like an hour and a half, hours, and then you'll be up going, crack! Oh, this is just like crack. No, I know those guys ask me dollars in the field. Like, oh my goodness. Okay. I was,
That's funny.
I was up late because I was watching two white guys box.
Okay.
Wow.
It never happens. That never happens on ESPN. So I was like, okay, I need to go to bed, but I could not. It just wouldn't work. So I'm up. Still slightly wired on Sudafed. Let's do this.
That is too funny. And last but no, by no means least, we have the man in the wildlife preserve. Jeff, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. The wildlife preserve is interesting as of late because we have, I think we're up over 200,000 acres on fire now. California's still ahead of us, but this doesn't feel like a competition we want to win.
No.
So yeah, it's kind of weird right now. And I haven't seen much in the way of wildlife except for the occasional bird that's been completely dismembered out back behind my place.
Wow, okay.
Oh, wait, I do have a cool one for you though, speaking of birds. The other night, so this would have been before the fires really took off here, there was this hawk, red-tail hawk, that flew overhead. And it had caught a pigeon, and it was flying with a live pigeon in its claws.
Wow.
Oh.
It
That is pretty crazy.
was pretty awesome.
I can imagine. Okay, yeah, the week in Apple has had not too much going on, but there has been like a big snafu on Adobe's side. Lightroom, the latest Lightroom iOS update, accidentally deleted all photos from people's devices. So anything that wasn't uploaded to Creative Cloud just disappeared and is apparently unrecoverable. So
Is that iPad only?
I think it was iOS in general. It didn't matter whether it was i
Yeah.
yeah.
Okay, let me check
If
because
only
I
there
got
was a way for them to be able to test updates before they roll them out.
I don't know. Sounds crazy, I know.
Well, I want to listen, to be fair to everyone, because I've been trying to find the answer to this. But it's the articles I've read said that photos that some photos and settings were lost because they weren't backed up to the Adobe Cloud. And so I'm trying to, I can't find anybody that can answer the question. Did if I had, let's just say, 100 photos there,
did I lose all 100, or did I lose all 100 and the settings, or did I just lose maybe the ones that were most recently imported, however many that was, mm-hmm. or however far back that goes. I mean, any way you take it, I think it was a huge mistake not to have the settings backed up to the cloud, because that apparently in Lightroom is a big deal. But I can't find out. I mean, this one guy said he lost 2 years worth of edits and photos. I think that was on 9 to 5 Mac, mm-hmm. but I'm not clear on just what exactly the logistics or the specifics of the loss was.
Yeah, I mean,
Magic Man said, how about calling them beta releases?
Yeah, Magic Man. Somehow I think only Google can do that. If anybody else tries, I'm pretty sure Apple will like stop that.
Well, oddly enough, mine's is okay. So I'm sad for anyone that lost that stuff. But yeah, the key element, Chuck, the whole idea of the settings is because, okay, if the guy lost 2 years of work, then that means he's probably a, you know, professional or professional amateur photographer. So in theory, he's using the true DAM system, the digital asset management, which is 3-2-1. So all you would be able to do is point to the second version of the backup, and the settings will attach themselves as long as the file names didn't change. Mm-hmm. All of that XML and EXIF data in those XML files would attach themselves, and all the settings would be right. So your curves and your, you know, any split toning, whatever you've done, would still be okay. So you just need to put the photos back in the other spot. But if it blew the settings too, then you're screwed. Now that said, he can't have lost 2 years of work, because if you're doing the DAM method, 3-2-1, right, then your settings files are also back up with the other backup.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Or what Ewan says, if you only back up to the external, but you delete the one that's on the computer, then that's not your backup anymore. That's your original. And that goes so confused by the general population, even with World Backup Day, which, if my memory reminds me, is March 31st, something like that.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, something like
that. If it's not, it is now.
I'm not going to make it up. I'll look it up real fast. That's... I don't want to get people messed up, but I think every tech person has a right of responsibility. Like in the 80s, like whenever, you know, we're working at the club or whatever, and, you know, say one of the guys was, you know, met a partner that they were going to go with, you know, we pat him on the back and like, don't forget to suit up. You know, that was just mm-hmm. a common statement in the 80s. You needed to remind people. And, you know, I would pull the extra one out the back pocket and hand it to my boy and be like, you good? Like, cause I didn't want to see anyone, you know, especially after Magic, you know, everybody just started to pay attention. I didn't want to see any of my friends, you know, fall, you know, to the wayside. So I think for us nerds, we're almost in that, you know, fight AIDS position where we have to tell people to back up every time we see them. Hey, are you backed up? Mm-hmm. You know, like, what? Why do you always ask me that until you do it? And then I'll leave you alone.
Yeah, so
every
true.
Week, one of us gets a call from a friend or a family member. Can you help them recover something? Tell me I'm wrong.
Right, so I'm curious, what's the right way to say it? Tell me about your backup systems. I want to hear what everyone's backup system is.
I'll go last because mine is psychopathic.
Oh, I'm excited to hear yours, because we can probably compare our neuroses through our backup routines.
Hey, well, I'll start. I'm not even sure what order to take it in, but I do clones on a weekly basis and rotate those clones. But I also then have one of those clones that sort of sits out for a while. And so that would be the clone part of it. Probably every 6 months or so, I take a clone to the bank and put it in my safe deposit box. And I realize that sounds a little paranoid, but that is as much for the data, but really it's more for the production environment. Mm. And if I make major changes, I'll update that more often. And then I have Backblaze as my online provider. And this is not really a backup, but I'll throw it in there anyway, that I do my best to store all my data, any significant data, let's put it that way, on a NAS of some kind so that there's better fault tolerance for a failed drive. So you can see Drobos in the background. I have several other Drobos, and that has saved me, I don't know how many times, because, you know, a drive goes bad and the Drobo just starts blinking at me and says, replace the drive. And so drop a new drive in and, you know, I'm back up and running and don't lose anything, as opposed to having that one, you know, really big drive sitting there. And if it goes south on you, then if you didn't have a backup of that, then all that data is gone. So that's the way I handle it.
Yeah. So for me, I mean, it starts with something that is not really a backup. But I store basically all relevant data on some sort of cloud storage. Either it's Nextcloud on my own server, or it's OneDrive. It just depends on, is it like something sensitive I want to have on my own server encrypted, or is it something I can store on OneDrive and be fine with it. It's not a backup, but it helps, kind of like your NAS solution. It helps with, if anything happens to my Macs, all the important stuff, all the projects, everything, even the, like, I have complete environments in there, it's all there. That's not a backup. So the backup itself, then I have a backup server, which is basically just cloud. Well, no, it's not a cloud server. It's like a physical storage server in a data center from like one of my hosters. And there I back up basically my entire system, or all systems, to that external server. And that server has multiple redundancies. Like it's a rate 10, I think. Either rate 5 or rate 10, I can't remember. But it's like multiple disks. Like, it's not just rate 1, which is like just a mirror. It's like multiple disks. So even if that server, like something happened to that, there's a redundancy for that backup. And I do that as well to Backblaze. So I have basically on a server, on like one of my servers, I have running a backup that takes the cloud stuff that I have. So I get it from my machine here locally, but I also take it from there and upload it to Backblaze. So I basically have even two cloud backups running. And those get deleted frequently. Like there's I have usually, what was it? The past 7 days, I have basically daily or even multiple backups a day. And then the past couple months, I have monthly backups. And then I have like a couple yearly backups as well. So I can go back reasonably far. It's not perfect, but it's, yeah.
Patrice, when you say the hourly backups and all, and that's something I forgot to include in mine, is because it just sits there and I forget about it, is Time Machine. Do you have Time Machine included in yours?
No, I don't use Time Machine anymore because it barely works with, I mean, if you don't have a NAS on your network, it basically doesn't work anymore. So I'm like, I use an application called Duplicati, which can just back up to anything. No, that's.
I'm teasing.
Yeah. No, it's a .NET application, which is really funny. But the cool thing is, it does run on all platforms. So I can back up Linux servers. I can back up Macs. I can back up, if I had Windows systems, I could do that, which is like a big plus.
I'm looking at it right now. That's kind of chill.
Yeah, and it's completely free.
Nice. So basically a primary backup, because I just like the fact that it's forever running and there is no limitation. And to answer Ewan's question, the backup of the backup also gets backed up. My primary backup is Backblaze. Okay. And I'm going to tell you the reason why I call that primary is because, like I just said, the backup also gets backed up. Now, what's wired to my computer is a 8 terabyte RAID that gets carbon copy cloner, right? Like constantly file level, right? And then these guys get swapped out. There's three of these and they get interchanged, and this does the image so I can boot right back, because the one that's going to the RAID can't boot, right? So I use these for the image, even though I should probably put them on the RAID because I think the RAID is faster, but anyway, that's a different conversation. So these are images. That's the regular file one. And then in the back room, there is a 20 terabyte Unraid that also is the backup. And that's connected on my 10 GBE network, So what that one is primarily for is it also pulls copies of both the image and the file stuff on a cron job, right? So like at 4 a.m. when I'm supposed to be asleep, it's moving the stuff, it's moving the image and the data from there to the Unraid in the back. And as a matter of fact, the Unraid's about to get a server upgrade. Topher just got a new logic board and two new procs. So we're gonna run 2 10 core procs plus that now has the built-in MVNM2. I can never say that. MVNM2 PCI 4 express cards. So that way it can copy even quicker. And the other thing I do with that is I do my Final Cut library. I keep all my Final Cut libraries moving back there. So again, middle of the night, they decide to, you know, walk across with the Minihunes and land onto the big server. And then of course there's iCloud and Google Drive and Adobe Creative Cloud. So all of those things, you know, for my high level clients, a copy goes to Creative Cloud and Google Drive and iCloud. And then for just the random projects, they kind of stay according to software. But I try to do as much saving things to the cloud. But yeah, my Lightroom library is well protected as well. So that's about it. Oh, and then of course, crucial documentation. There is a hard copy and it's in the safe right next to the Glock.
Right next to the Glock. I don't know how to transition from this topic, but I think we should.
Jeff's turn.
Jeff's turn. That's true. I forgot about that. Sorry, Jeff.
Oh, no, that's okay. The big thing for me was I wanted to hear everyone else's backup strategy.
All right. So you can do it.
Yeah. So I can pick the best from everyone else's and start backing up. No, I use a Jazz Drive.
Good.
Nice.
All of my working projects, those live on Dropbox, Google Drive, or iCloud. Because oh my God, you have
wow.
a zipped it. Oh my God, that's awesome. That is absolutely awesome. Yeah, those things cost so much back in the day.
For the people listening, Doc was just showing a zip drive. Or a zip
drive. I forgot people listen sometimes.
Yes, they do. Yeah. Most of them do.
Yeah. So files that I consider always accessible, that category, they go onto one of the cloud servers. So it doesn't matter what computer or device I'm on, I always have access to all those files. I am running Time Machine so that if I screw something up during the day, I can jump back to a recent version very easily. And that just lives on its own little drive. And then I have my nightly backup that goes to a Synology named Leela after the friendly AI for Marathon. And then I also have my weekly backup that goes to separate drives. And also I'm using multiple backup applications. So if one backup application fails, the other one hopefully is still working correctly. So I'm doing a combination of Super Duper and Carbon Copy Cloner. Then my cloud backup is Dolly Drive. I met them years ago at Macworld.
Yeah, me too.
I remember that.
And started using them and it's still working. I couldn't come up with a valid reason to switch over to Backblaze because it's working. So I have my always running Dolly Drive backup happening, and I feel like I'm forgetting something in the backup routine that I have. There's something else in there. I just can't think of what it is right now.
Okay.
Patrice, before you transition, there were two things. The first is something I think we kind of all mentioned sort of as we went by, and I didn't, but I do it. But I don't think of Dropbox as a backup. Yeah. But I have a lot of files stored on Dropbox that, you know, I sync between different machines. And so that is, you know, again, that's not exactly a backup, But I think it's important maybe to point out to folks that depending on where you store stuff can make a difference. Mm-hmm. And let's see, was it Catalina? I don't think Catalina was the first, but one of them will let you theoretically store your desk, your home folder and your desktop on iCloud.
Desktop and documents, I think.
Desktop and documents, excuse me.
Desktop and documents.
Yeah, so that's important. But you Patrice, posted something in the chat room that you lost some email because of something not working. God, one of the things you got to do is test your backups. Mm-hmm. You know, once a while.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pretend that something happened, and go and try to recover and see if it's working. Because if you don't test it, it's like the smoke alarm that you don't test, and then your house has a fire and you die.
Yeah, that's
not good.
That's something. I mean, I forgot about. So I simply usually I get an email if something fails, and I didn't. So I just assumed, everything is fine. And then I checked and every backup job since on that server, every 6 hours, there was a backup job. And for the last 4 months, it had been running. Like all the jobs had been basically in running state and never doing anything.
Ouch.
And I was like,
Jeff, wow. What's funny is you talked about the Dolly Drive thing. I was using it, and if you guys, anybody remembers the old 2-Hour TVD Live, I used to talk about Dolly Drive constantly.
I remember that.
And you said you didn't have a good reason to switch to Backblaze. I think it was Macworld 2013 at the Cirque du Mac. I met Yev from Backblaze and Geb, and so Yev kept feeding me vodka cranberries, so I switched to Backblaze. Been there ever since.
That is an absolutely valid reason.
Mm-hmm. That's a very good reason.
You know, maybe if they had been pumping me full of drinks, I would have switched too.
No, you're done after two. I saw you, brother.
Yeah, but to be fair, each one of the drinks that I get is a quart.
Yeah, true that.
Yeah, your method of gaining customers works.
Yeah. Now, to me, it was the story that came up right around 2014 about when there was that earthquake or tsunami or something in Indonesia, and it took out all of the drive manufacturers. So those guys needed drives, and everyone was like, okay, drive prices went up. We're going to have to come off that $5 a month price. And then Gev, who is the CEO, he's like, no, we're staying there. So you guys figure it out. Mm-hmm. So they went and raided all the Costcos in the Bay Area till they got banned from Costco of buying all the Western Digitals and cracking them open. You know, they were buying the MyBooks, cracking them open and filling their 48 drive cases. And then after they got banned, they hit up everybody on Twitter and they were like, you guys send us drives, and for every drive you send us, we'll give you another year plus of Backblaze. And next thing you know, they had a picture where there's literally 2,000 drives in their warehouse because everybody was just buying them and sending them. So
that was 2014.
Yeah, I said 2014, right? Yeah. Their ingenuity and their respect for their customers of staying at a price when they could have easily updated. Because $5 is actually too cheap, if you ask me, for what they do, because they back up your backups. They don't care what you throw at them. And so that mentality is just awesome. And for the couple of years that we met after that and just seeing that they keep innovating, I really appreciate what they do. Now they have B2.
Yeah, I have compared storage prices across a lot of providers, and B2 is with my hoster here in Germany, the cheapest one that you can find right now. It's a point 0.5 cents per gigabyte.
Squeeze your eyes tighter to come in quicker.
Yeah, It's S3 is 10 times more expensive, and they offer S3 compatible API now. It's not fully featured yet, and I have some issues with that, but I'm in contact with them. But their service, I'm hosting all my podcasts, all the files, everything as a CDN basically on Backblaze.
And really? Works.
Yeah, everything. Wow. It's very super simple. I mean, I use Cloudflare as a CDN provider for free, and put it on Backblaze. And I think so far I've paid this year, I've done that, and I've paid maybe 30 cents for a lot of data.
It's $5 per month per terabyte on B2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sounds about right.
Insane cheap.
Yeah, and I mean, there's some traffic costs and so on you have to check, but I said it is actually, it is super reliable, super cheap. They have options also to host in Europe, for example, if you like want to have it in a certain location. Default is obviously US, but you can
select. They make a good cold storage for those guys, mm-hmm. you know, with like the gentleman who lost his library, his XML files for mm-hmm. his edits. You take those because those are sacred and mm-hmm. you send them to something like B2 storage as a cold storage. You don't pay on the upload, you only pay for the download. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have to pay a little bit for the storage.
There's a little bit for the frozen, right? Yeah. I was going to say there's a little bit for the ice mode, but then mm-hmm. once you upload it, that's nothing. Then you pay a little bit for it to be frozen. Mm-hmm. And then when you need it, then you pay per gigabyte on the way out.
Yeah. But, and they have even like a reasonable free tier. Like, I mean, it's not a lot, but I mean, if you don't download 5 terabytes of data all at once, it's super cheap. So.
Yeah, well, and if you live in a place with a crappy connection, they will actually send you mm-hmm. drive that's loaded with your stuff. Mm-hmm. So if you need it to boot, you can just install it and keep going and just pay for the drive. Yeah. Or you have like 7 days or something to send it mm-hmm. back, and you send it back, and it's like, oh, we just sent, you know, you're really just paying for the shipping of the drive back and mm-hmm. forth. But it's a fantastic, like, I know that I'm safe recovery mode.
Yeah.
And living on an island where tsunamis happen, I'm cool with that.
Yeah, highly recommended. Okay, we should move on and talk about another transition.
Apple... See, that was a great transition between topics. Well done.
Yeah.
Apple is talking, or has renamed Beats One, the radio station Beats One that I don't know anybody even remembers they have, to Apple Music One. They've also introduced two more stations. One is called Hits and one is called Country. For me, the question is that the end of the Beats brand? Like, slowly but surely?
Question. I think it has a little bit too much juice right now, but the people who were like born and bred on that were kind of sort of wise and the old millennials. So the, what the new kids is called, my brain just went dumb. Generation Z, mm-hmm. Gen Z. They don't really care whether it says Beats or not. It's mm-hmm. not a thing to them. It's more the younger, wise, and the older millennials mm-hmm. and us, you know, those of us who are in there. And I was never really into Beats because for the most part, they were horrible. The two pair that I had were free. Mm-hmm. I went, you know, win in a drunk contest or something. But then once they Apple took over, they did get a little better in build quality and things like that. But there's just way too many good quality options. So the physical Beats, but the brand Beats as far as that licensing for speaker technology and the radio stations and all of that stuff, zero. See ya.
Yeah. I'm kind of thinking, like, are they even going to stop doing the physical Beats? I mean, it is losing, I think, a little bit of steam, and Apple has their own brand now. I mean, I don't have any numbers, but I would suspect that the AirPods outsell Beats headphones like by a lot, probably. So the question is, how relevant is the Beats brand now that Apple has the AirPods?
My sense is that the Beats brand is for a completely different audience than anybody here, and I'm not sure. You know, I'm not sure that we have a really good sense of. Of what it, how big it was. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, it seems like if I turn on ESPN, which I very seldom do, but, you know, there's an athlete walking through a tunnel somewhere, you know, on his way to a game, and he's got a Beats headphones on. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that I don't even know what to say about that. I feel like, you know, the circles we all run in, you tend to see more of these, a lot more. I'm not sure what you're wearing, Patrice. Are they Beats?
Those are Beats, yeah. Those are Beats.
Those are Beats, yeah.
Part of the value that I see in the Beats brand is that it doesn't get people confused. And by that, I mean the people that aren't Apple savvy, that think if you see an Apple logo, the only place you can use that mm-hmm. product is with other Apple products. Mm-hmm. So you leave the Beats logo on the headphones, and now people aren't looking at Beats thinking, oh, well, you know, I have an Android phone or whatever. Mm-hmm. They they'll still feel like they can buy it.
Even though the current generation, especially the wireless Beats, actually work better with iPhones than with Android phones. I mean, they work. Oh, yes. It's not a
That's
problem.
That's because of W2 chips.
Exactly, yeah.
So here's the thing on the brand as far as like personalities go. Yes, Chuck is absolutely right. A lot of the athletes are still using it. Mm. Bubba Wallace is actually Beast sponsored. We have a surfer here, Kainoa Igarashi, who's also a Beats brand ambassador. But these guys actually pay fines because the NFL banned Beats.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll still wear them anyway.
Really?
Tell us what to do. Yeah, the NFL banned Beats because they were trying to get a Bose or a Sony contract, or they did have a Bose or Sony contract.
Mm-hmm.
And so athletes weren't supposed to wear Beats, and all the athletes was like, screw that. I'll just go ahead and give you a check for $50,000. Leave me the hell alone. And they're going to wear what they want to wear because they have rituals, right? You know, like I was a dude with, two different color socks underneath my game socks in soccer because that was, my thing. I had to have it on, and socks had to go in a certain order. Shoes had to go in a certain order. You know, so you have a ritual. You can't tell a guy who believes that, rocking his green Beats 2 before an away game will help him hit, 30 points. You can't tell him to switch to Bose or any other brand for that matter, because it's a ritual. So that's why most of the guys, they would just still do it. So Chuck's actually right on that aspect.
Yeah, that's
absolutely Yeah, I hadn't thought about that part of it. I assumed, and I didn't know about the fine thing, but I assumed that that Beats or whomever, that they were either paying the athletes so much money that the fine didn't matter, or they were just picking up the fine as a cost of having the advertising.
Probably, yes.
Yes, more likely they pick it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, still, I think just in popular culture, we're seeing a lot of AirPods, like in recent years, like all over the media, like a lot of actors and so on, a lot of athletes, even the few that I see, a lot of them are wearing AirPods. And the question is, I mean, there's this rumor that Apple is bringing out what some people call the HeadPods, so like over-ear headphones. and if they did that, I mean, there is a question like... Does Apple still need the Beats brand? Is it still relevant enough, or is it? I mean, it doesn't hurt Apple probably. It's just a matter of like, do they still? Because they're not advertising them as much. Like I don't even remember the last time I've seen a Beats ad of any kind anywhere.
It comes on in sports games.
Okay, maybe that's I'm not watching that. So
I understand. Mm-hmm. Unless they have tomato chopping championship.
That would be cool. I would watch that.
I knew you would say that. The article that I posted in the chat is older, but as far as I know, it's still going on. I switched from Google to DuckDuckGo, and it doesn't give it dope responses. But as far as I remember, last year it was still a thing. So
it's definitely very quiet. I mean, Apple is very present everywhere, and it seems to be, at least to me, very quiet around Beats.
Well, is it to the point where though it's similar to Starbucks? Other than their pre-bottled drinks, there is no Starbucks commercials.
Mm-hmm.
You just show, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like McDonald's isn't advertising to remind you to eat a burger. That's just brand recognition advertisement. Mm. They don't really need to advertise because there's enough people addicted to sugar and grease.
Yeah, but I don't think Beats is on that level.
Mm.
I mean, not even Apple is on that level. It's very rare.
I do still find it funny, and I know I've said this on the show a million times, but I'll crack up every time I see it. When you watch a movie or a TV show that isn't paying the product placement, and they just put a sticker over the middle of the silver notebook, like we're not supposed to know what it is.
Yeah, everybody knows it.
There's a silver computer with a massive 27-inch screen and a white keyboard, but oh God, let's put a sticker over it to make sure that nobody thinks we're advertising Apple.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It kind of cracks me up every time.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I forgot to turn off.
That's fine.
But don't forget to subscribe.
Don't forget to subscribe. Hey, so
you guys follow this guy and subscribe to the channel.
Okay.
It'd be funny if I got a super chat right now when I'm not even streaming. I'd have to split it with you guys.
Another Apple news. Apple Care Plus now can be bought basically within a year of purchasing the device for
Always
Macs.
Always love that.
Yeah, I mean, it was already the case, I think, for phones, if I'm not mistaken. But now you can buy it for iPhones, iPads, Macs, iPods. Well, if anybody still buys iPods, HomePods, Beats, talking about that, AirPods, AirPods Pro, Apple Watches, and the Pro Display. Usually it was 60 days, but now you can basically buy it within a year. It has to pass a hardware check to make sure it's not damaged. Yeah, that's
which they can do remotely.
Now they can do it remotely.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. But after that, as I said, you have a year basically to buy that and to cover your devices, which I think is really good because I mean, if I didn't order it right away, I sometimes forgot. Like for some reason or another, I don't know. Especially in the days when the pre-orders were kind of wonky, I didn't want to add Apple Care right away because then that takes an extra second or two.
Me.
Yeah. So, and then I forgot about it.
The one time I screwed up and forgot, that was exactly it. Like the pre-orders was being wonky. I want to call it the 10.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yo, I'm not going to miss this pre-order messing around with them. And I just put it in. And then after I forgot, and then probably like a couple of weeks after, I had an issue and they're like, oh, you don't have Apple Care. I'm like, I always get Apple Care. And they go, no, you didn't. And I'm like, man, you better check again. I designed this system. Do this again. Check again. And I was like, oh, I guess I forgot. I feel horrible.
Yeah.
So I really like this. This is great.
This is awesome. I mean, it doesn't help if you already dropped your phone and then you buy Apple Care. That's not going to work.
Right. But this should have been an option all along.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think it used to be for the Mac.
It was. Because at the James Bar, that's why I said we used to do the test whenever somebody wanted to after enroll, right? So we would literally have people that would come in. And initially, anecdotally, it used to be the switchers because we were very big on switchers when I was there, right? Mm-hmm. And so they were unsure. They didn't know, but they would hear about it or read about it, you know, throughout time or realize they actually liked this Mac thing and they were going to keep it. You know, a lot of the switchers were like tapping a toe in the water. You know, I'm new to this. I want to see how I like it. You know, it's lighter, it's portable. I like the way it looks, whatever. So they would come in towards the end to add that, you know, extra protection. And so we would do the tests and stuff. So it went away, I want to say, at the second or third rev of unibody all aluminum one piece.
Was that maybe the Retina MacBook Pro, the first one?
Yeah. That's about when it went away.
Yeah. I said, I just remember it used to be like that because I, being a student back then, I bought it basically after a year because I couldn't afford it right away, which was fine. I mean, especially in Europe where you had kind of two year protection anyway.
And I don't know if this will work, but if anybody that would like a way to slightly game the system, if you bought your computer and then you go to buy the Apple Care after the fact, if you bring a college student in tow, like Apple Care for an iMac from a college student is $130 versus like $250. Mm-hmm. It's really deeply discounted for college students. I think it's like 40% off. So, I don't know if it'll work or not, but it's worth a try.
If you have a student in your family, then definitely consider that.
Yeah. I mean, it helps cover paying for the tuition, I guess.
but no, it has not to be really.
College student, which I always thought, you know, every penny helps is what I meant. I always thought it was kind of ill that they didn't do it for the high school students. Mm-hmm. Like it had to be a college student. Yeah. I think they may change that at some point because they're really focusing heavy and hard on education at this point. Mm-hmm. I do know that they do homeschooling now. My little sister, she had to submit her homeschool papers and stuff. And so what was really cool was we got my nephew Final Cut, Logic, all the pro apps, and a bunch of like online training for $199 for every single pro app.
Whoa.
That's cool.
That was amazing. And so
Final Cut alone is more.
What I said. He just turned 10, but he's a dancer, actor, model type. So, you know, on his way to being a Hollywood star, hopefully, and buy Uncle a house. But being able to get that you know, by sending in all the homeschool mm-hmm. documentation and whatnot. I thought that was great, but it also, it makes it also seem like, well, if the kid's not homeschooled and they're still like elementary or, you know, junior high, they don't get to do that. So I think Apple should just open it to students. At this point, they can afford it. It yeah. would be very, a lot of parents would be helpful.
Yeah, Patrice, something you said though, you know, about buying AppleCare later because you couldn't afford it when you bought the machine. Mm-hmm. I think that's a key point because, you know, as especially if you're buying higher end machines, you know, you're already taking a big bite out of the budget. Mm-hmm. And then to have to add a few hundred dollars on top of that for AppleCare, depending on what, you know, what machine you're buying, it does feel a lot better that, okay, I can put this off for a little while, mm-hmm. work under the typical warranty, and then, you know, pass that hardware test and buy the extra when I can afford it. Yeah. So I think this is just, it's a great thing for Apple financially and a great thing for users as well.
Yeah. And I've also,
they also might've figured out with this time and space right now, it's a good time to pull that trigger, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, for yeah. sure. I'm also thinking about like my company. I mean, It was difficult enough to get them. Well, it wasn't that difficult, but it was still like a little discussion to get them to buy me a new Mac since the old one was starting to crap out. Adding another, what is it, $350 for AppleCare? I didn't want to discuss that, but I can go in next year in like new budget and simply say, hey, can we do this? Like, can we put this on someone's credit, like corporate credit card?
See, that's also smart, Patrice. You can parlay it to the Christmas season when you're mm-hmm. busy, or you can parlay it the next year. So there's on a fiscal, you know, mm-hmm. sort of chain, right?
Yep.
So that's also, I didn't think about that. That's pretty yeah. genius.
So it's another option. It just gives you more options. And I think that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. Apple might have inadvertently leaked the date for the next Apple event, or at least that's what people are thinking. They posted a video, like a live stream test or a test live stream to YouTube for the 10th of September. And I mean, they pretty quickly removed it. But since it was posted to the official Apple account, obviously a lot of people noticed. So yeah, there might be, I mean, it would be an unusual day because it's a Thursday and usually they do Tuesdays.
But it's an unusual year.
It's an unusual year, exactly. and everything is possible. So there might have been another reason that they said, oh, like usually it was Tuesday because, I don't know, logistics and venues and whatever. And this year they're saying, well, if it's all online, it doesn't matter. Let's do it on a Thursday because, I don't know, something else is happening on a Tuesday. So they could do that. I mean, it's not 100% guaranteed. It might have been just an honest mistake, like someone pushed the wrong button or wanted to try something and like just pick the date. But it is very suspicious.
Don't be suspicious. Don't mm-hmm. be suspicious.
You know, if it... Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, that was me, actually. I was the one that did the live stream for Apple.
Okay, right, okay.
Now it all makes sense.
Yeah, no, it all makes sense. And someone subscribed to it.
Yeah. Jeff, what were you going to say?
Yeah, just now.
I've seen a lot of speculation that this is iPhone announcement, which is totally possible.
Mm-hmm.
But considering where we are with the product refresh cycles, like for iPads and stuff, we could actually be getting an early announcement for an iPad.
Mm-hmm. First ARM Mac?
The first ARM Mac. Mm-hmm. And considering Apple is still pushing hard to make Apple TV successful, maybe we have some sort of entertainment related announcements.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they have picked up production for All Mankind, which I think, at least what I've heard, there were only like two episodes shy of finishing it. So, and that was already announced, like they pushed out trailers and everything. I mean, no dates, but yeah, there could be like that they're announcing that. And I mean, the renewal season is coming up for those people who signed up day one. So mm-hmm. they have to do something, or I'm thinking they want to do something and like convince people to pay for it. So
Mm-hmm. Okay. And that would fit nicely with the idea that we're getting, well, not the idea, Tim Cook told us, we're getting the next iPhone later in the year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
so they could pull forward some things and have something to announce and like basically do a switch and like instead of mm-hmm. doing the like the media stuff and the iPads and Macs and so on later towards Christmas, they could do that first and then do the iPhone. So it's definitely possible. And I mean, we're also suspecting there will be a new Apple Watch. So maybe they'll do that. Like basically have the iPhone be its own thing and everything else is like the September event.
Mm-hmm.
That is absolutely possible.
You know, I guess I can't get excited over this stuff because it's beyond our control.
It is.
The event is going to be when the event's going to be. The products yeah. are going to be available when they're available. What I really hope is that sometime in the future, when they reveal all the deep, dark secrets of Apple that were happening back when, that we find out there's a secret department somewhere that's tasked specifically with generating rumors by putting out fake.
Oh, there would be cool.
You know, I really do hope that because, you know, it's like, sometimes I feel like it's just, they're just throwing, you know, the line in the water to see which of the fish will hit it first.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, that's totally possible.
My every August conversation is I miss the days of Christmas where you just didn't know. And then they say there's an event and mm-hmm. then you're all excited and nobody's trying to beat someone to the headline to get the first leak. And, you know, I wish you no harm, Sonny Dixon, but I wish you would retire and mm-hmm. leave us alone because you're stealing Christmas from the children. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. We are old children now. But you're stealing Christmas. We have yeah. not had an Apple event in so long. Well, there's a couple of two things, but we like, yep, checked all the boxes.
Mm.
But in the bigger half of that, which irritates me is, oh, Apple didn't put in the flux capacitor. They said they were going to have a flux capacitor, but there's mm-hmm. no flux capacitor. There's no 5G capacitor either. It's like Apple didn't say anything. Mm. They said, here's an event. Shh.
Yeah.
The icon even has to shh.
But on the other hand, Apple has become to some extent predictable. Like, I mean, the iPhone comes out every year more or less around the same time. Macs are mm-hmm. a little bit less predictable, but still very predictable. Like, I mean, what Apple is doing is...
Follow the analogy.
Yeah.
Follow the analogy. I said, we know Santa's coming.
Yeah.
You know what day he's coming.
Yeah.
But you don't know what he's bringing. So that's okay. Yeah. The predictable part is okay. Totally.
Yeah.
But... just like trying to be first for the whole mm-hmm. purpose of getting more Google AdSense is, yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to hate on your business. Your business is your business. Mm-hmm. But man,
But
as a person who loved that, I miss it.
Yeah, I do too. On the other hand, Apple shows that they can still surprise us. I mean, there are things that leak and there are a lot of things that don't. I mean, the whole, like, that the ARM transition was even happening this year. I mean, we knew it was coming, but nobody thought about it that it would happen this year. Nobody saw
that Mac Mini ready.
Yeah, nobody or Big Sur. Like nobody knew about Big Sur. I mean, we knew there would be a new Mac OS, but everybody expected it to be another version 10. And they
you know who pulled... heads the skunk, the secret Skunk Works department? Chuck.
Oh, okay.
That's he just did a Jedi mind trick on us. One day, I hope they talk about my department, Apple secret department.
It could be.
There's so much that's making sense now.
Hey, right when I mentioned it, you notice he took a drink real quick. He's like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. The secret Apple department is in my basement here in Central Pennsylvania.
That's probably why nobody hears about it.
Exactly. Thank you.
Yeah, well, and talking about it openly like this, I mean, the best place to hide plain a big sight. Secret is in plain view.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wait, don't they only have like sour apples and crab apples in Penn?
Oh, no, we have good apples. We have Fujis and all that. Yeah. No.
Good.
I actually like crab apples when I was a kid. You just can't eat it. You just got to throw it away. Because it's like,
crab apple jelly is mm-hmm. amazing.
I've never even heard of crab apple jelly.
Right. You are missing out.
On roasted mountain lion.
Like a crab apple chutney with like roasted mountain lion. Yes.
Actually, it'd probably be really good on elk.
Oh, yes. I can definitely like a nice see elk that.
Steak. Well, you know, when people, that signature flavor, we're going to go way crooked for a second, but that signature flavor, a sour apple, I swear it had to come from little kids like stealing crab apples and biting it and go, whoa, and then throwing it away. So somebody goes, hey, let's package that into a gummy bear.
Yeah, that was my childhood. My childhood sweets were sour apples.
Yeah, and I love put firecrackers in them so you can throw the firecracker further. I'm serious. I'm not joking.
That makes sense. What we did was we made pop bottle rocket guns.
Okay, Magic Man guy is saying today in on Foodie Flashback.
Magic Man said that you's lawyers are going to come after me for that. Last comment about bringing a
you know he doesn't listen to this, so he's not gonna know. Last story for today. There is finally a Apple bundle. It's not what people expected. It's not like a TV news.
Is it a bundle or a bushel?
It could be a bushel.
I think you need one more. Don't network.
Jeff, one more makes it a peck.
Well, Apple TV Plus is included.
A bushel or a peck. Yeah.
I mean, Apple TV Plus is included. So it's three networks in one, basically.
Okay. Yep. You're right.
Yeah. So if you haven't heard, I mean, it's only available in the US. I tried it. It just doesn't work here. Apple is now offering CBS All Access and Showtime with your Apple TV Plus subscription, which at this point might be free if you bought a qualifying device, for $10 a month. So $10 a month on top of Apple TV Plus, which is half off, basically, because I think usually it's, what was it, 20? I think it said $20.98 if you bought it separately.
Yeah, we're all still on our first free year, mm-hmm. So we'll find out in September.
No, so if you subscribe to CBS All Access and Showtime, you would pay $20.98. I think Apple TV Plus was announced to be, was it $4.99? Do I remember that correctly?
Apple TV Plus is $4.99.
The CBS Showtime combo is $9.99. Remember, mm-hmm, that was correct. Your thing last week.
Yep, correct. So that is, as I said, and the cool thing is, if you already have CBS All Access, as long as you're going through Apple, so on Apple Pay, you can actually upgrade that.
Shut up.
So it's subscribed. It basically cancels your it cancels your old subscription and basically gives you the new thing for the same price.
Yeah. So Doc, this doesn't work. Launch the Apple TV app.
I'm doing it.
And then just pick the Showtime channel, and choose the 1 week free option, and then it will update your subscriptions for you.
Gangster. It's very interesting.
It sucks because I kind of already get Showtime with my building's condominium fee.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then. Yeah, so that is, as I said, the first. I mean, there were rumors that Apple might do a service bundle of some sort. This is the first one, and I'm honestly surprised that Apple is doing it with other channels, like that they even do that, because I don't know whether either like Showtime or CBS All Access really need this.
No, I think they did. That's the reason why they bundled with Apple.
Yeah, probably. But I didn't expect that. I mean, I would have said CBS.
Hulu was hurting, right? Mm-hmm. And then but that Handmaid's Tale gave them a nice little, you know, punch, mm-hmm. but they were still kind of hurting a little bit. So they said, oh, we're going to, like, you know, that's NBC actually on the side note. They decided to link up with Spotify. So if you're a Spotify premium guy, you got Hulu for free. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then so, bam, all these people started watching Hulu. And so I just even noticed this in the, hey, what are you watching, you know, during the lockdown thing? Like, all these Hulu shows are popping up. And then people are like, I'm irritated with the commercials. So I switched my $9.99 Spotify to the $14.99 Spotify, which gives you Hulu, free mm-hmm. commercial Hulu, and you can share your Spotify with your family. So both entities were able to, like, you know, pony up and, mm-hmm. you know, carry the sofa. As a versus one guy struggling and dropped the sofa with his head down the steps.
Yeah.
So that's what everyone's doing right now. So I think CBS was like, hey, that's a good play. Let's call Tim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or vice versa.
Yeah. And I mean, content wise, I would say at least CBS All Access, I see a great overlap between them and Apple.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, all the Star Trek stuff and everything they're doing. I mean, there's probably, mm-hmm. a big overlap.
And I, you know, I feel like right now, because of the COVID situation, I think there's more subscription fatigue over TV services than maybe there ever has been before. And I mean, we've known this for a while. There's got to be a consolidation. You can't have everybody asking for $9.99 to $14.99 a month and expecting to get it. Yeah. And so, you know, is this the start of it or has it already started? I thought I saw that somewhere, I didn't pay that much attention, that the DC Universe stuff migrated over to somebody.
It's on CBS. That's on HBO Max.
You're right, Jeff. Yes, HBO Max. So, you know, that's, here we go. They're starting to pull together a little bit. And okay, so for a couple more bucks, if I have the option, you know, yeah, maybe I would add Showtime or CBS All Access or DC Universe. So I think that's at least some of what's going on here. And gee, it would be hard to argue that Apple's a good partner to have.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh yeah. And on the HBO Max side, the Studio Ghibli is far more important than the DC stuff. The DC one good movie.
Absolutely.
Out of their whole universe, they got like one good movie. But not Marvel Universe, 100% hitters all the way across the board, except for Iron Fist on Netflix. That was Lou. But Ghibli, Hayao Miyazaki, my man.
And Chuck, I think you're right. I mean, given the current COVID situation, I mean, more people are probably watching streaming than before. But on the other hand, unemployment rate in the US and a lot of other countries is on an all-time high or is pretty high in general. And people are probably like canceling their subscriptions. They're not willing to pay for 5, 6, 7 different streaming services. And they're saying, okay, like which ones are really important? I mean, we did that in my family. Like we reduced it down to like basically the one that we wanted, or the two that we wanted.
It's a classic subscription thing of, you know, if you can get me to subscribe and then maybe I'll forget about it and it'll just keep coming off the credit card. Now, not only are people a little bit tighter on money, but they also have time to look at what they're paying for. And it's like, hey, wait a minute. I can save a few bucks a month or maybe more by just saying, canceling it because I'm really not using it that much and I'll fill in with something else, or I'll come back later once the situation improves.
Well, one of the things that happens too is when you start having time to really watch it, you realize that it's better than you thought. So right when you try to ditch it, it becomes a thought again because they just added a bunch of new stuff. And so that was HBO, right? I mean, I was the turn HBO on for Game of Thrones run and then turn it off, right? And then turn it on when Boardwalk Empire was a thing. And when Boardwalk Empire, Game of Thrones ran side by side, I was like, oh, this is great. And then when it was over, turn it off. Didn't need it anymore. Yeah. And then John Oliver, boom, turn it back on because John Oliver is just the best in the business. And then this time again, just about to say, no way, I'm done with it, because everything's off. And then boom, Studio Ghibli and HBO Cinemax like mixed together, they got much better stuff, and it's like it's hard to turn it off, right? So that's to your point, that's actually kind of
well, and then add in Lovecraft Country.
Oh, that's going to be so good.
Have you seen the first episode yet, Doc?
No, I was saving it for Sunday because I read check Watchmen and then I'm mad that it's not coming back.
Well, we knew it wasn't coming back because when it was made, they said we're doing one season. It's a self-contained story.
That's changed their mind.
I know. You're really going to love Lovecraft Country.
Yeah, we just finished Perry Mason, which is actually great. And the only reason why I watched it is because that was what I used to do with my grandpa, you know, on Sundays, was watch Perry Mason. So I was like, I'm gonna sit here and watch this for Pops. Completely different, but then enough of the same that I was kind of wishing Pops was next to me to watch it while he's.
I haven't started watching Perry Mason yet, but from what I understand, this is like the books.
Yeah, it's more like the books than the show,
which sounds really interesting, Chuck, to me.
That's a Pennsylvania reference. My Pops used to pickle herring and beer.
Okay.
Sounds like a Czech thing.
No, because Indian Gap, he lived in Indian Gap, PA.
Oh, Fort Indian Town Gap. Sure. That's just up the road from me. Yeah.
That was a thing.
I don't remember pickled herring, but okay.
This podcast and all the other podcasts on the network is supported by TSO Host. TSO Host is a really, really good hosting company, since we just talked about backups and so on. They have great offerings. They have like servers, obviously. We have two of them, and they've been rock solid for, I have to look up how long it has been. It must have been 3 years at least. But I don't even remember how long ago that was. They have like pre-built packages for WordPress, for example. If you need a blog and some other stuff, you can obviously host your own websites. They have web hosting packages. If you need a domain, they have domain names available that you can get there. They have really, really good support. Everybody I've talked to that actually like needed them, which is very rare, but some people just have questions or are not sure how to do things. They've been very, very helpful in general. They've been really nice to us. Zed, no complaints there. They're super helpful. They reach out to us every now and then and like, do you need anything? Like, is anything wrong? Like, any questions, anything like that? And we're always like, no, it's running so smooth. Like, no complaints at all. We don't need anything. We have everything we need, really. And like the whole, like, I mean, we're running this live stream, running the entire network off two servers. Like, we have the back catalog of, what is it now, 12 years or something, of shows, of multiple shows. So it's like, it's a lot of data that we have on those servers, and it's not flawless. So if you're in the market for anything, head over to tsohost.com. And if you use the offer code BTN20, you will get 20% off everything they offer. And if you don't, that's totally fine too. But please head over to Twitter or the social media of your choice and mention at TSO Host or TSO Host, I think, on Facebook as well. And just thank them for supporting us, because that's all they really ask for, that we give them some brand recognition. And the other awesome company, and Callum is not here today, so I can't ask him what awesome repairs he is doing right now, but imandmax.com is also like a really awesome company. They offer repair services for, well, basically anything that's electronic. I mean, not just Macs and Apple devices. They actually do some other stuff too. They do data recovery. They have a refurbished store that is Apple only, but they have like iPads, and I checked the other day, they have like anything from like 2012 iMacs and 2012 MacBook Pros to like 2019, some very fairly recent machines. They have just in general really awesome services. Like Callum always posts the crazy repairs he does, like, I don't know, fixing a completely smashed and broken iPhone 8, like basically barely a phone left, and they basically restore it to factory new almost, or at least it looks like it's factory new, even though it's still the old phone, just with a lot of new parts. So yeah, they're a really great company. And if you mention BTN to them, you will get 5% off everything they offer. So head over to imandmax and yeah, do the same thing. Mention them on Twitter, imandmax, or imandjeffs as well, works too. And they will, and just thank them for being awesome. And I think Ewan mentioned on the big show yesterday that we're one of the top three referrals for them. Like, we refer a lot of people to them, and they're super happy about that. And we're super happy with them, because they're just awesome people in general. And I'm probably going to send over this MacBook once, if I can buy it off work, the old one, and have it repaired by them, because why not?
Yeah.
Like, smart. I mean, it's literally the only company I know that goes in and like switches out individual chips. Like, not just like replacing the entire logic board or whatever, no, like going in and like microscope and everything and soldering in new chips to fix something, which is a lot of times cheaper than just replacing the entire thing. I don't even think Apple does that. They just recycle it.
They just recycle. Well,
yeah.
It's kind of genius, because it also helps cut down on landfill. Mm-hmm. You can, you know, yeah, pull working chips off for surface, you know, surface mounted stuff, and then replace it.
It's, yeah, awesome. And the cool thing is, it does work even for older devices that Apple doesn't provide any hardware or like any parts for anymore. They will repair anything they can, as long as they can somehow get their hands on the parts still or the chips, they will repair anything.
My iPod 60 gig, which I love to death. It just finally started acting goofy. I'm gonna ask him if he can do something, and I'll send it to him to swap it out.
Yeah, or pretty sure
I'll have him put in the flash. I have him put in the flash chip mod for me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that would be cool.
After too. I make sure the logic board works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they definitely do that. Like, I mean, we've talked to them. Like, I'm going to send something over from Austria. We've talked to Jeff even, sending over his
is
iPad.
Is it one of those cakes with all of the lines? Oh, my God. Can you send me one of those?
No.
Keeping
oh,
all
you mean the,
yourself.
Oh, what's it called? Yeah, I know the cake. The,
we call them Vienna here because it's just a brand name, but that's not the right word.
No, no, I think it's Sacher Torte. Sacher cake, basically.
Yeah. Soccer cake?
Sacher. S A C H E R. It's not soccer cake.
You American.
like in sugar?
Almost, yeah. Anyway, today in cakes. Time for the cool thing. Chuck, start us off.
Okay, so I swear to you that I did not, I had this in my hand before we started the discussion earlier. And this is this is just the way it goes. But I'm going to pick the AirPods Pro because I just got my first set of AirPods Pro this week. There was an open box special that I just couldn't resist. And this is the second time this has happened. When I bought my first AirPods, I thought, okay, I'm going to buy them. I'm going to return them because they're never going to fit. I'm never going to like them. And I've loved the AirPods. Now I've got the AirPods Pro, and I thought the same thing. First of all, they're never going to fit because, you know, they're a little more of an in-ear, and I have notoriously difficult ears to fit for in-ears. And second, I didn't think the noise cancellation was going to be A, adequate, or B, something for me, because I, you know, they would never be comfortable enough to keep it in my ears that long. And based on what I've had just with the last few days, these are fantastic. Once again, somehow Apple fits my ears, which just is extremely rare. I've only had like two or three others out of a lot of AirPods and earphones that do. And the noise cancellation truly is effective and amazing. And so now I'm anxious to get back on an airplane and try these out as opposed to my big Bose noise canceling, because this would be so much nicer than having to take up all the space with those. But I got to tell you, you know, I should give up being skeptical. But if you haven't tried these, you really owe it to yourself to go and see just how good they are and how comfortable they are. And just then, just for the heck of it, I bought one of the little, you know, neoprene cover cases for it that glows in the dark so I can find it easier. So, but
Chuck, remain skeptical, because that way, when you like the product, you're pleasantly surprised as opposed to being consistently disappointed when something doesn't live up to your expectations.
Jeff, you're right. But there have been all these months I've gone without these that I could have had them. And that's, you know, because now if something happened to these, I would go right away and happily buy a set at retail. No question.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's the fit is the thing. You guys just don't understand how difficult a time I have. And I've given up on just about everything that goes in my ear because it just doesn't work for me. But these absolutely do.
Mm-hmm. Please put the link also in the chat for everybody to
find.
I am
sorry. And I had it loaded up and forgot to hit the button.
Oh, don't worry. And for all the listeners out there, links can be found on britishtechnetwork.com/chat and then navigate to the 21st of August 2020. And I can absolutely second the Chuck's comment about the AirPods Pro. I got mine. Third. I got a replacement set because one of them wasn't charging properly. And I had to leave them for like 2 or 3 days with the place. And I used other headphones. Actually, I used the old AirPods and they didn't fit right. So the Pros are that much better.
100%.
Okay, Doc, what's your cool thing?
Okay, so I put in the chat, and this is funny. I was going to pick this before we had our conversation too, Chuck. So... Touche, or shall I say Summer's Eve. I am actually You guys are
I'm sorry. I shouldn't laugh. I'm only encouraging you.
I've been on this thing about the new, not really new. They've been out for a while, and it's normally in your sort of like Synologies, QNAS, and some server oriented stuff. But the drives that come in your iMac or your MacBook Pro, or your Mac Minis and stuff is an NVMe M2 drive. They're really fast SSDs. Now, what more normal people are buying, you know, are these, you know, little SanDisk and stuff like this. These are traditional sort of SSDs. These are the smaller ones. But this is an NVMe drive. And what that means to you non-nerd speaking folks out there, this drive would do 1,050 megabytes per second. Now, there's ways to build a faster one for his video editing types, and I will be doing a whole thing on that coming up soon. But this was announced yesterday. The weird colors, the normal colors, I'm sorry, are available as of yesterday. So your black and gray you can get. No, only black you can get, but gold, gray, and red won't be out until later this year. But they come in a half terabyte, a terabyte, and a 2 terabyte size. These are Western Digital. A couple of other companies just released theirs as well. But if you are an editor type or a photo type, or you just want fast external storage, look for these new portable pre-encased NVMe drives. Oh, the other one that's coming out is OWC. And then so this is my pick. But before I go, this is for Chuck because I love him. There it is. And it's not going to stay long because it's going to move, but these are spin fit, much more comfortable adapters to put onto your AirPod Pros and make them even better. They're extremely comfortable. Nice. Spin fit is the best tip maker in the planet. And what they specialize in, it's hard to tell, that little color piece, it adds a level of flex. So when you put it in, it will bend properly into your ear canal versus you having to keep sort of force fitting it in. And that's why they call it spin fit. So when you put them in, you twirl and that allows it to seat perfectly. And it's much more comfortable. And so you can pick these up on Amazon. The CP1025s are the ones that are made for the AirPod Pros.
Very nice.
Thank you, Doc.
The portable drive is also like a really good option. Like I had this discussion yesterday with two BTN listeners.
Dead iMacs.
Not just dead iMacs. Like if you're buying a new MacBook Pro, and like, I mean, they're expensive and you have to save money somewhere. And then there's always the discussion like more RAM or bigger SSD. Or both, like, I mean, if you can. Sure, if you can afford both, sure, go with both. But for a lot of people, like, it's already very expensive. And, like, I mean, spending another $400 extra is a lot. And I always say, go with the RAM. Like, neither is upgradable. But go with the RAM, because that long-term will be able to give you the best benefit. SSD storage, you can always add on with Thunderbolt 3. Sure, it's not as portable, but, I mean, those drives are so tiny. You can just throw them in.
Nothing.
Exactly. You can just throw them in your bag.
That was going to be lighter than these. I guarantee those are going to be lighter than this. Mm-hmm. So to your point, Patrice, I was helping people in my streaming community. Mm-hmm. I was helping people spec iMacs, and I kept telling everybody, get 8 gigs, get 512. And they're like, oh, but I'll run through 512 so quick. Mm-hmm. And so for $400 to upgrade to the next biggest hard drive, you could get a 4 terabyte, 5,000 megabytes per second M2 SSD.
Yep.
So I'm like, just no. Yeah, leave those in the iMac situation, leave that alone. And as we mentioned pre-show, OWC 32 gig kit is 119 and a 64 gig kit is 239. Yeah. Yeah. So please, if you're buying a new Mac and you get an iMac where you can replace the RAM, skip those two.
Yeah, or
and
Mac
go
Mini.
For external fast storage. Mm-hmm. And last one, if you have an iMac where the hard drive is failing, or trust me, that Fusion drive is going to eat your data because Fusion drives always eat your data. Mm-hmm. Just take one of these, connect it to the Thunderbolt 3 port, get some Velcro, stick it to your back. No one's going to see it. It's just faster and brand new, more secure. Yeah.
I did that. Eight years ago with my iMac. Like it had a spinning hard drive that I like didn't want, and it had Thunderbolt 2, I want to say, at that point. And I just stuck an external SSD on the back and used that as my hard drive.
I 3D printed the shelf for mine behind here, but you can't
exactly.
see it.
Exactly. So it's, definitely.
Of course you did.
Yeah, as I said, like, I mean, sure, if you, like, if you need that, like, if you're super portable and you need that space and you can afford it, sure, go with a bigger SSD. It is definitely a little bit more convenient to have it built in, but I wouldn't recommend it. Like, it just depends.
Western Digital, if you go to their site, especially the G Drive brand, you know, because it's very media people oriented, all their marketing pictures show people with MacBook Pros with the drive basically taped. Because in, you know, in production we use the black gaffer's tape.
Yep.
So you see, their marketing photos is their drive taped to the back.
Yeah.
That's really what you would see on set. Mm-hmm. You go to any set anywhere, the guy, the DIT guy, the guy who imports the video, will literally have one of these G drives stuck to the back of their machine.
Exactly.
And I think that's awesome.
Absolutely, yes. I 100% agree with that. Jeff, what's your cool thing?
Well, my cool thing, just by coincidence, fits in with the whole subscription service thing for networks. And it's the new Star Trek series on CBS All Access, Star Trek Lower Decks. It's a 30-minute show instead of an hour. It's animated, so the first animated series since the 1970s. And it's billed as a Star Trek comedy. And it's a funny show, but it's also really well done with good stories. And I just love that instead of focusing on the bridge crew, they're focusing on the ensigns that all live on the lower decks.
The people who peel the potatoes.
The people who peel the potatoes and scrub the plasma inputs. These are the people that are the stars of the show. And the four main characters are all dysfunctional in different ways. And they fit together wonderfully. I love how they're building each character. They're only three episodes in, but it's not just this this superficial comedy that's playing off of the Star Trek universe. It's actually a really well done show.
Is it the drawn together people? It has that style.
It kind of has that style. I don't know if it's the same people that did Drawn Together, but Rick and Morty.
Oh, there you go.
The Rick and Morty people, the guy that did the Twitter account Start Next Generation season 7 or season 8, whatever that one was. The guy that did that Twitter account is the producer and head writer on this.
Nice.
Cool. I'm going to watch that. That's
cool. And he was involved in Rick and Morty also.
That's very cool. I'm detecting a theme here because my pick is also a TV show, different network though, and actually globally available, which is nice. It's Ted Lasso on Apple TV Plus. I'm not a sports guy.
I want to start watching that.
Yeah, I'm not a sports guy, so or sports person, so I don't know. I'm not sure whether I will like it.
It looks good though.
It does look really good. It's what's his name? Jason Sudeikis, I think.
Jason Sudeikis is the funniest dry humor person.
Totally dry. So the story is basically a football, like American football coach, is hired by a, like, let's say middle of the pack British soccer team or football team in how they call it in the UK. As a coach, or like him and someone else as like head coach and I don't know, assistant coach or however that works. Like, as you can see, I have no clue. And yeah, it's like there is a bit of a twist. Like it sounds like it begins like a very common like fish out of water story where you think, okay, like he doesn't know anything. That's not the story, and it's very interesting what's going on in the background. I'm not going to spoil it. But it is super funny and it's very, very British. And I mean, I wanted to ask Ewan what he thinks about it because, like, I mean, I don't know how this looks like for someone from the UK who is into that sport and whatever. But as like German/American woman, I'm very intrigued by it. It's a really, really good show, and the first, I think, four episodes are out by now. Like they did the same thing they did before. They dropped the first three, I think, last week, and then today the fourth episode came out, and I'm looking forward to watching it because it is so far, like I've watched, I think, two episodes. Very, very funny. Very dry, but very funny, and like also very endearing. Like there's a lot of like nice little moments here and there. Very well produced, very well written so far. So I mean, we'll see how good it is.
I definitely want to watch it because I basically absorb, even in this like off season, I'm like sitting here watching old matches. Like I absorb footy like there's no tomorrow. Like that is my second life. And when I saw the preview, I was dying. Mm-hmm. It's super funny.
Yeah.
It's like 97 on Tomato. So.
Oh wow. Okay.
It's an audience 97. It's a Tomato like 85, 86.
That's still pretty
good. So that's guys are
and
evil.
The cool thing is, as I said, I'm not into sports like all the sports things and sports movies and so on. It's very light on the sports like side. They don't show like entire games or whatever. Like they like there's like a scene or two here. At least the first two episodes, there's like a scene or two here and there, to like show them playing or whatever, or like exercising. But it's practicing. It's a lot of like the surrounding areas, like the management side, the players, like building a team, like all of that. And as I said, there's a very interesting twist that I'm looking forward to figuring out, like what they do with it. I mean, it's so hard to tell.
To compare, watch We Are Sunderland on Netflix, because that's a real team, and it's mostly that, the backstory, less of the game, but more the stuff around it.
Mm-hmm.
So intertwine them, and then you'll get it. You'll, like, have a good parallel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds very,
very
similar.
Very endearing story about the Sunderland folks there. It's really, really good, well put together show.
Yeah. Yeah, as I said, and the cast is, as I said, Jason Sudeikis. I do not remember the name of the British actress who plays the new owner of the club that, like, she, I think, was it her husband was the owner. He cheated on her, and she got the club, basically. That's the beginning. I mean, I think that's in the trailer, so I'm not spoiling anything. But she's a well-known actress in the UK. I've seen her in a lot of really good TV shows there. And she plays it really, really well. So looking forward to it.
Cool. Like...
All right.
I don't know, Patrice. I'm still recovering from your recommendation of Future Man.
Okay, good. I have more recommendations like that. So
Oh my God. Yeah.
That one is definitely one of those, what the hell did I just watch moments.
I've had a couple of people ask me about it, and it's like, I have no idea what to tell you. Yeah, I can't explain
exactly.
It.
No, it's unexplainable. That show is definitely unexplainable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which makes it really funny. All right. Chuck, where can the good people find you?
Best place is macvoices.com. That's where you'll see me talk to a lot of interesting people and exciting people, and would love to have you stop over, and you can find me email me if you disagree with anything, or if you agree with anything, on Twitter as at Chuck Joyner. It's been fun. Thanks, Patrice.
Yeah, it was always fun with you. So really enjoy that. Doc, how about you?
You can find me all over the interwebs at DOCROCK, and of course on the old YouTube channel. So I always kind of put the thing up because it's just
because you're just showing off.
Because it's just showing off. One of these days, I'm gonna get you guys to switch so your life can be so much easier. You don't have issues because my way is more gorgeous.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And Jeff, where can the good people find your awesome self?
On Twitter and Instagram, I'm Jay Gamet. The Big Show, The Mac Show, a lot of shows on. I kind of do the podcast circuit. I had a slight delay in my pre-production for that interview show, but I'll be able to jump back into that next week. So, episode's coming very soon.
Nice. Looking forward to that. You can find me or everything I do at thepatrice.com. Just very easy, just redirects. I was also on Systematic. I don't know when that episode is coming out, but I think very, very soon, because Systematic is back. And
Overtired.
And Overtired is back. I'm very, very excited about it. And Homework.
Three of our old school shows absolutely. Coming back.
Yeah. So I'm very excited about that. And I just recorded the episode with Brett on Sunday. So that is coming up. And my podcast is Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com. And I hope I get to edit the latest episode this weekend so you can listen to Callum. I kind of feel bad because it took me a month to do it, but I was just too busy. but it's a really good episode. So looking forward to that. And the next one's already scheduled. So stay tuned.
Cool.
And with that, I should mention BritishTechNetwork.com at BritishTech on Twitter. And yeah, please also support our sponsors, TSO Host and iMentMax, or iMentJeffs. I don't know. Maybe that works too. Okay. Thank you for listening. See you next week. Bye.